talk in this all the time I do. Give God thanks and praise for that. And as I begin, let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord God, we know that you have been good to us. You've been better to us than we can ever be to ourselves. We thank you for your many blessings, Lord God. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And so, Lord God, speak now because we're listening. Speak, Lord God, for your children are listening. And we're hoping to hear a word from you. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And I want to, as we think of Thanksgiving, my sermon title today is Thanks Living Every Day. Did you get that? Yes. Thanks Living Every Day. And we don't have to wait for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Day. Because, you know, Thanksgiving Day has now become a shopping day. Right? The thanks part has now been reduced to shopping. How early is the stores going to be open? Right? And when can we get there to get the cheapest thing we're going to buy at Walmart or wherever? And while we are having Thanksgiving dinner, some folks, they're hurrying up the dinner so they can get to the store. They're not going early in the morning, they're going later in the evening. And then while they're still home at night, they're worried about how early they could get there on Friday. But we want to talk about thanksgiving. Living a life of gratefulness and thanksgiving all the time, every single day. Now, for those of you who came through the Division Avenue, and if those who didn't come through Division Avenue, I want you to take a look. You go out and take a look. And sometimes I say things and folks will say to me afterwards, they didn't even know. Like I said to someone said, we don't have any, how are the older people going to get downstairs now that downstairs is so lovely? And I said, there's going to be a lift. How many times have I said it? It's going to be an elevator. So I'm saying it clearly. Look outside. It has been cleaned up. When you see that little coming in, did anybody see it? Did you all who came in, you saw it? It is now clean. The bushes that were just tangled and brown and broken is now cleaned up, and flowers are planted there. Because if you know me a little bit, you know that I'm a constant cleaner. I cannot stand when the place has things around, but that was done by Mrs. Sun and to get it as a project. Because I say to the young people, as I said to you earlier, as we get to the text, whenever time they are, I apply for scholarships for the young people. I'm outside of the local church here to the conference. They have to be involved in a project. They need to be given something back to the church. Now, that young man doesn't get here all the time on a Sunday because there, you know what happens with the ball games. But I said to Missy, you know, he's going to be graduating by God's grace, and he'll have to fill out an application, but I need for him to do a project. I need for him to be doing something to fit it in his schedule to do something. And you know Missy, she says, Pastor, I'm thinking what to do, and lo and behold, she did. They've beautified, they've painted the rails, see, and painted the rails and put new flowers and things. And she says, come when it gets colder, the flowers will die. She's going to put greenery, you know, like winter green. And she will put that in those things. And it's beautiful out there. Take a look. Thanksgiving, living a life of thanksgiving. We have to teach our children that. Some of these young people are so self-indulged and self-absorbed because we have failed them. Right? It is okay to, yes, we should have their scholarships ready and try to help them to go through college, but they should be given back. That's why depression is so high in these young folks. Because it's all about themselves. Right? If you keep looking at yourself every day and just keep talking about yourself and thinking about yourself, you'd be depressed too. I'd be depressed. You need to let them be able to give back and do something outside of themselves. And then we have so much to be thankful for, because by God's grace we're getting the church, all the things we're doing in the church finished. And did you see the back of the church? Everyone doesn't just turn and look, everybody. Doesn't that glass look so beautiful? I know you see those little blue crosses. Give God a hand, right? And it's going to be beautiful in there. And I know you saw the blue crosses, and hopefully nobody asked me why they're there. But you would get savvy enough to know the glass guy left it there and we fixed it. Because until people get used to it, they'll walk into it. But we're going to have different things on the... We have ordered things already. You should know, Missy and I, that we're not going to leave the blue stickers. If you know my taste, we'll never leave the blue stickers. It is just now to make it up. And that's going to be a beautiful room for the children. Once the sound get in, we'll be changing the carpet. And I just said that to call, that we wanted to change the carpet, and call me on Saturday. I was just talking to him on the phone, but he called me on Saturday and he says, "What color do you want?" He's on it already. I says, "Call, I'm up." I says, "I'm not even home." He says, "Well, I'm going to the carpet store, and what color?" And I gave, and he says he's going to bring some sample. I just barely mentioned it to him that we're thinking about it. That's when somebody is thankful for their church. When you live a life of thanksgiving, you are thankful. You want to make it look wonderful all the time. And so, yes, we have a lot to be thankful for. Because in the midst of, even though we are not to the numbers that we want to be, but we are slowly but surely getting there, and folks are interested in joining, and we're getting things done, and we have a wonderful church. My God, have you ever just thought about all the things that are going on in the world, and you look at your own life, and you say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me." Right? And so, there's a beautiful little hymn that I almost had the children sing, but the chorus, but I didn't think they knew it, and I forgot to give it to the confirmants to sing yesterday. And it's called, the chorus says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." Have you ever heard that little chorus? "Count your blessings, count them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." That's how the refrain goes, right? And the first verse says, "When up on life's billows you are tempted, tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." Take the time to count your blessings, and it will surprise you what God has done. He says, "Are you burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by." Sometimes when we are getting fussing over nothing, right, little things, we're getting mad with the people in the car and a family member, you're getting mad, just count your blessings, right? You know what I mean? Getting mad with the husband or the wife, not you lovely people, you love each other, you don't get mad, but those of us who do, you know, we get mad sometimes, like me, get mad. He says, "And when you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Money cannot buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high." And then the fourth verse says, "So amid the conflict, whether great or small, Do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend, help and comfort, give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings. Count your blessings. I've been humming this song since I've remembered it last night. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. Oh, such a beautiful little chorus. Makes you joyful. And so we want to count our blessings. And this hymn is about gratitude. It's called to raise above the discouragement, doubt, envy, and self-pity. To reach a new appreciation for the blessings which the Lord has poured upon each and every one of us. Gratitude is said to be the memory of the heart. And where there is an absence of gratitude, either to God or another, there is the presence of vanity and the spirit of self-sufficiency. So whenever time our hearts are not grateful, it is because we think we've done it all, that we are doing it all. It's a place of self-sufficiency. And so one writer says in this story, he says, Greg Anderson in Living Life in Purpose tells a story about a man whose wife had left him. Here's that wife again leaving that husband. Whose wife had left him. He was completely depressed. He had lost faith in himself, in other people, in God, and he found no joy in living. And one rainy morning, this man went to a small neighborhood restaurant for breakfast. And although several people were at the diner, no one was speaking to anyone else. We've seen that, right? Everybody just seated, no one speaks. Our miserable friend hunched over the counter, stirring his coffee with a spoon. In one of the small booths along the window was a young mother with a little girl. They had just been served their food when the little girl broke the sad silence by almost shouting, "Mama, why don't we say our prayers here?" You know, a kid will do that, right? "Mama, why don't we say our prayers here?" The waitress, who had just served their breakfast, turned around and said, "Sure, honey, we pray here. Will you say a prayer for us?" And she turned and looked at the rest of the people in the restaurant and said, "Bow your heads." Can you see this little girl? Bow your heads. Surprisingly, one by one, the heads went down. Because you know, we, no matter how big and bold we are, we always are obedient to children, aren't we? So the heads went down. The little girl then bowed her head, folded her hands, and said what this little girl was trying to say today. Right, little Julia. "God is great, God is good, and we thank him for our food. Amen." The prayer changed the entire atmosphere. People began to talk with one another. The waitress said, "We should do that every morning." All of a sudden, said our friend, "My whole frame of mind started to improve. From that little girl's example, I started to thank God for all that I have and stop majoring in all that I didn't have. I started to be grateful." And then the writer goes on, he says, "We all understand and appreciate the importance of gratitude, how it can radically change relationships. In fact, one of the first things we were taught and that we teach our children is to express their gratitude." Right? Aren't we teaching our children? We give them a candy or something. We say thank you. Do we still do that for our friends? I still do that. I hope you are still doing it to the young ones. Just don't let them grab it out of your hand and walk away. Right? No, you say thank you. Teach them. And the child learns from an early age the answer, thank you. And certainly we all know as adults that we appreciate being thanked. Yet when it comes to giving thanks to our Heavenly Father, we often miss the mark. And when it comes to giving our thanks to God, I don't suppose there is any story in the Bible that is so endearing to us and so timeless and so appropriate as the story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. We have all heard the story many times, but like so many Bible stories, we never tire of it. Right? We hear it. And we know there were 10 lepers, weren't they? And do you know what lepers, those who were suffering from leprosy in those days, in that time in the Middle East, and in those, it would be the kind of what we thought about AIDS when AIDS was beginning here in the West and was rampant, right? But leprosy was truly a skin disease that you would see all the sores and all of that on the person. So these men were outcasts. They were outcasts from community, from the synagogue. They were really marginalized. You know, when I say marginalized, they were at the margins, right? At the edges. And the scripture tells us it happened that as he made his way toward Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. Jesus has a tendency of going into places where nobody else will go. Because that area between Samaria and Galilee would be a place that a Jewish person would not normally want to go, because you knew about the Samaritans, don't you? The Samaritans were like the outcast, the mixed breed. Right? Remember the woman at the well? Samaritan woman, right? As he entered the village, 10 men, all lepers, met him, and they kept their distance. Why did they keep their distance? Because they know they were called what? The untouchables. Right? And we know in some cultures, in some part of the world, right now, their people are still looked at as the untouchables. Cannot be touched. Right? They're demonic. If they are the demon possessed or anything, they cannot be touched. Known as the untouchables, right? But Jesus did not look at that. He saw them and they went away from, they kept their distance. But their voices were calling out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Even though they couldn't go close to him, they called out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And I tell you, the Bible is so relevant to now. And the Bible has all we need on how to live a truly spiritual life. Do you know? The Bible has everything for thanksgiving. Everything we need for thanksgiving in the Bible. We may not like everything in the Bible. It's not about liking, but it has all the stories that we need, all the narratives that we need. Lord has left for us. And so as they called out to Jesus, Jesus did not say, go away from me, you lepers. No, no, no. The scripture says, taking a good look at them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. He just took a look at them and the healing happened. Go show yourself to the priest. You know, I'm calling out to Jesus for a couple of people. Calling out to Jesus for some folks I know are going through. And I'm praying that he hears. That he heard then and he'll hear now. But one of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. Right? I want to be that one. Don't you want to be that one? I want to be that one that turns back. One of them out of the 10 came back and began to glorify Jesus. And he kneeled at Jesus' feet so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough. And he was a Samaritan. Do you know what they're saying here? He wasn't a church-going folk. He wasn't part of the synagogue. He was an outcast. I think sometimes, friends, when we have enough, sometimes we can become very complacent. We can forget where it's coming from. We sometimes think it's because it's our wit, our brilliance, our hard work, our strength. You know how many brilliant people are suffering? Who had good minds they started out with but didn't get opportunities. The doors weren't open for them. Right? Sometimes we think we did it all by ourselves, but I always say to folks, who gave you health and strength? Right? Who gave you the good brain? Yes, you had to do something with it. And sometimes when we are that way, we are not as thankful because we think we did it all by ourselves. But this man was in need. He realized that he had been sick so long, and the priest couldn't heal him. He couldn't go to the synagogue, but Jesus healed him. And he was grateful. He stretched out before Jesus in gratefulness. Have you ever just got up in the morning sometime, friend, and when you get up in the morning, you just say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you, God, for another day. Do you do that, or is it just me? Just thank you that I will. Sometimes when I jump up and I realize that I'm awake, I'm telling y'all, you know, you could go to bed and don't wake up, friends. You just go lay down. You know, one of my colleagues told me that she just came back from Korea. We'll be going to Israel, and she came back. Our colleague died in Korea, and she says, Marjorie, I came back, and everything just went wild in my church. I've got two people who died, a 41-year-old woman. I just come to the Bible study. 2 days later, brain aneurysm, gone. Why her and not me or you? Right? There's so much to be thankful for that we woke up this morning. You know, there's a little thing we would say when in the black churches where I grew up in, it would say, you know, oh Lord, thank you for that I'm in a reasonable portion of health. Thank you that I'm in my right mind. Do you know it's a good thing to thank Jesus, but all of us are not in our right minds. But you know what I'm But if we got, you know what I'm saying, sometimes we're a little bit off the rails, you know, but days when we're in our right mind, you know, it's good to get up and say, thank you, God, that I'm in my right mind. Because you know you could go to bed in your right mind and wake up crazy. Right? And then you're crazy all day long. Right? So, this to thank God that you're in your right mind. Thank God that you have food and shelter and clothing. Life of thankfulness. And so this man understood that gratitude. Gratitude is a wonderful thing. To be grateful. And you know, we want our kids to be grateful to us. So does God wants us to be thankful to him. And Jesus said to the man, were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider? That's what the Message Bible said. The others were insiders. There were synagogue people, Jews people, but they didn't come back. But the outsider came back and say, thank you to God. And then he said to him, get up on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you. His faith. Remember I said last week, it's not your 20% of faith or your 40% of faith, your 50. Your faith has healed you. This man was completely healed. Jesus wants us to know that we should be grateful. The story of the grateful Samaritan offers us another image of who and what matters to Jesus and should therefore matter to us. The story draws attention to two important themes in Luke. Jesus cares for the marginalized. Those who are suffering he cares for. That's why when we are serving people who are in need, whether it be our food pantry or the immigration ministry or the clothing ministry, we should go out of our way to treat them well. That is what is expected of us. If you're going to serve somebody, serve them well. Or if not, don't do it. Don't let them feel worse than they are, worse than they're already feeling because their life is already in a mess. I always say, if people are that hard up that they have to come to a food pantry to get a couple of can of tuna, and we put such a value on a can of tuna that we get so upset, I don't know where the going rate is in Hicksville for a can of tuna. I don't know how much people are paying for a couple of can of tuna. So if they're getting a 2 or 3 tuna and they really should only get 2 and they took 3, so be it. So be it. We should treat them well. It's a privilege for us to serve, because Jesus expects that. Two, the appropriate response to Jesus is a response of faithful recognition of gratitude. Jesus responds to our thanksgiving. When we say thank you, Jesus, He responds. You know what happens? He responds by blessing us and blessing us and blessing us. Because He knows that we understand what it means to be blessed. I think certain people are not blessed because they don't know how to say thanks. Do you know that? Because you got to plant good seeds. Got to plant good seed. And so here we have in this text, Jesus is reminding us. He's in the region between Samaria and Galilee, and Jesus always frequently shows up at the boundary spaces. Jesus will go to the crack houses, to the prisons. I have been to prisons to preach, and I've seen room full of prisoners, 500, 600 men or women, gone to Danbury Prison, Rikers Island, and you know how terrible that prison is, and it had been terrible like that for a long time. First time I went into Rikers Island, I cried. Could not believe. When they locked these places, and I would look. Gone up to Woodburn and see hardened criminals, when they hear the name of Jesus, crying. Crying. Because they have been touched by His word, and somebody came to see them. Some of them are not getting out at that moment. But they say, why did you come? We came to tell them what the gospel story. That Jesus loves them. That Jesus cares about them. That no matter what, they're bearing the consequences for what they do, but Jesus loves them. You see, the heart of this story unfolds three steps. Number one, the healing. Number two, the turning back and praising God. Friends, when you know that you have been blessed, not all of you, you're not like me. I am Caribbean. I've lived in America longer than I've lived in the Caribbean, but the Caribbean blood is very strong. It runs through me. So, you know, I get happy and excited, and I could just dance my thanksgiving. I could just dance my, you wouldn't be dancing with me in here because you're just looking at me, but I could just dance my thanks. If I could get all of you to get up and the music was playing and the drums were, I would just be thanking God for all God has done. I could just start dancing up and down the aisle, right? Because it is part of my culture. You know, we dance our thanksgiving. Did I tell you the story as I'm here that I went to the Ghanaian church? And they do not just take the plate. And so when I went to the Ghanaian church, I might have told you this before, I took my church from Bridgeport, and we were mixed, of course, and it was a trustee, but he's Art Cool. I was calling him Carl now. Art Cool. And he was he's German, tall, white, and he was with us. And because we used to be in a little group, I had that little wonderful German man in our little praise. You should see him singing with us, trying to keep up to the beat. He was wonderful. So we go to this Ghanaian church, and it's offering time. And offering time, and they put the baskets up front. And the music started to play, and they started to dance. And everybody's dancing to come up to the offering. And we're up front, and we don't know where we're in our little group, and they're playing. And he said to me, Pastor, what do we have to do? I said, we gotta dance up. We gotta dance up. He says, we have got to dance up. I said, but what are we gonna? I said, we gotta join the crowd. So I says, Art, you gotta come with me. There's like five of us who came from our church. I was the preacher. And so poor Art has never, he still talks about it. He says, I so miss you going to things I've experienced, because I would take him to these churches. You know, he'd go with us, a team all over Bridgeport, and we started to dance. I'm holding Carl's hand, and I'm holding Art's hand, and it would be Carl, but it was Art. And he's dancing up, we're coming up, and he comes, and he stands, he does, and I says, Art, we just gotta move. So when he got up front, one of the women took him by hand and started to dance with him. And now he's taller than all of them, and all you could see is this tall white man in the midst of all these black women. And they're taking him around the church dancing. They were just rejoicing as they were given. Our bishop now has just experienced that. He says, these people dance when they're giving. I says, not in my church, there's no dancing. We're happy to give, but we're not moving. Do you understand what I'm saying? But it was just their expression of their joy. Right? So when I went back to my church, I said, we are going to have this little dancing. And I start the music and everybody's looking at me. And I said, who's going to come? A couple of people came. I thought, well, we're not going to adopt that because they're not going to be dancing. You understand? But there's a joy. And it doesn't mean that some of us expressed our joy on the outside. Doesn't mean that we don't have joy on the inside. Because they're thankful for what God has done for them. Now, that's one of our biggest churches in the conference. But the Ghanaians are very big churchgoers, you know. And it's easier for them because they go to a Ghanaian church. And so we want to be thankful. So let me close with several points on what gratitude does for us. Gratitude, what it does for us. And so we could understand that we really should have a grateful heart, right? You know, number one, gratitude and a life of thanks to living, gratitude to God not only honors God, but it is good for us. You know, when you give gratitude to someone, it makes you feel better, doesn't it? It's good for you. Number two, a grateful heart keeps your mind focused on the Lord. When you have a grateful heart, you think each day of what God has done. Number three, it is essential for rejoicing in the midst of suffering. You know, it allows you to rejoice in the midst of suffering. Because suffering and sickness will come. But when you're grateful to God, it will give you the strength to go through. Gratitude removes anxiety. Praise and gratitude drives out fretting and worry. Next point, it energizes us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Have you ever made a gift to someone and then when you did, you feel so much better because you were able to give, right? And now, as I close, the scientific proven benefits of gratitude. Gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Right? It opens the door when you have a heart of gratitude. Gratitude improves physical health. Do you know that grateful people, it sends these endorphins through your body because you're just like bitterness. You know, put the bitterness endorphins in your body. So just Thanksgiving. Do you ever see some people always looking mean? Have you ever seen some people, they always look mean? Have you ever worked with anybody who always look mean or live with anybody? They never smile. They're so mean looking. You want them to just have a smile. He says, God bless you. And they look at you like you just said, jump off a building. Right? You haven't done them anything. You're just trying to be nice. I used to travel the subways. You want to have a heart of gratitude, travel the subways. You have to be so happy. People look, he says, good morning. You're just smiling because you're afraid somebody's going to kill you. So what do you do? Right? So you're very happy on the subway. You say sometimes, would you like to have my seat? Oh, excuse me, thank you. God bless you. Because you're just afraid for your life. So, you know, gratitude, and that all of a sudden you'll see somebody who's so just looking at you, this toughest guy in the subway, will just say, good morning, ma'am, because you said good morning. And you better not be sitting in the seat and spread out, you know. You're just easing and says, you could sit here, please. Gratitude, you're grateful for living. Makes you feel better, friends, gratitude. We need to have grateful hearts to the Lord. And they say gratitude improves psychological health, gratitude. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Grateful people sleep better. Friends, if you live a grateful life, give up the sleeping pills. I'm telling you, because you know what happened, I hear about the sleeping pills? They got side effects. So you take a sleeping pill, you have a side effect, and then you start growing hair in your chin. Who knows? You know they have side effects. You know what I'm saying, friends. Yeah, I don't know if that's one of the side effects, but you know what I'm saying. You read, when you take a pill, you read it, the side effects are so long that, you know, you could wake up with another eye, and you don't even know why, from the side effects. So, why not try gratitude? Being grateful makes you sleep better. I'm just telling you. I know you think I'm kidding, but it's true. Grateful people, gratitude improves your self-esteem. Make you feel better about yourself. And gratitude increases your mental strength. I know, I'm gonna pick and call. I know people don't know Carl. Carl may look, look serious. But Carl is a man who loves his church. And who's very grateful for his church. And grateful so much so that he gives so much of himself. I said to Carl as I finish up, I says, Carl, I'm so busy now. I said, you know, all these things are happening. This is being fixed, the elevator, the this, the phone. I says, and he said, because he cannot help as the way he used to. Because then even when I first came, I'd call him all the time. Because I call him every 5 minutes. Carl, Carl, this is happening. Carl, my boiler didn't call. I'd be calling him. Now he can't as much, and I miss it. I miss, but I still can call him. He tells me when I don't call him for 2-3 weeks, he says I forget him. And I says, just don't tell me that. But he is a very grateful man. Even though he may look so serious, and people think he is, he loves this church. And he will do anything. There are many people, but I'm talking about my relationship with him, to make his church better. He's planning already. He's always planning, and because he has a grateful heart. He may not be dancing around. You'd be surprised if Carl started dancing around the sanctuary. Right? He's not going to dance up front, but he has a heart that loves the Lord. We express it differently. Right? We express it differently, but the key is that we love the Lord, and we show it through our expressions of gratitude. And Timothy reminds us, Christ died for it. He was telling young Timothy, you know, a worker is approved of God. A good worker is approved by God. A good worker in the church is giving, showing our gratitude to God. Right? When we start thinking that the fact that we're doing something for the church is not about me, but it's about God, that's gratitude. Because God has been so good to us. So thanks be to all of you who are grateful to God and express it through this local church. Thanks be to God. Because truly we are God's hands and feet in the world. Without us, the Sixville United Methodist Church, without God's children doing their part, would not be here. I give God thanks for all of you. I am grateful for your ministry among us. Thanks be to God for your faithfulness. So let us go through life with a heart of gratitude, or make us feel better. Amen.